Would you turn with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at just one verse there tonight, and I want to fulfill my promise this morning of ministry more briefly. I'll do that tonight, but I do have a burden on my heart, and I just pray that tonight would be the turning point in someone's life, turning point in the church life. Amen. Praise God. Would you stand for the reading of God's word tonight? We're going to interrupt this narration, but it says, and to Seth, hold on just a minute. Brother Michael, I got a ring up here. Just a minute. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to read that last part with me tonight. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That men, you know, we got funny with all this gender sensitivity today, but we know that men means mankind, human. Then begin men, then begin women, then begin young people, then begin children to call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to notice in particular the word then. That's a turning point. I said that's a turning point, then. And I want to preach with the question tonight, when is the then? When is the then? Or when will the then be? When is the then? And I'm talking about in each individual's life, when is going to be that moment it can be said, then they called upon the name of the Lord. When is the then? Let's pray. Father, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you speak beyond the words of man. Lord, you speak beyond what is being said and done. Lord, you know how to speak to the heart. And I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight, Lord. God, I appreciate the rejoicing in our salvation in heaven tonight. But I know there's an eternal work you desire to do in this place. And I pray for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I was gone to Colorado. I was talking to a man who was a farmer, been a farmer all of his life. And he was telling the story. I just happened to get in on it at the first. I didn't understand quite what he was doing, but he was out on his farm and he had the tractor hooked up to an auger, and he was drilling a hole into this bank. And he was guiding it with his arm, but he didn't realize he got his arm too far in the hole. And all of a sudden he realized that auger was pulling his arm into the hole with it. And so he jerked his arm back, but because of the position it was in, he couldn't go forward and he couldn't go backward, and his arm was stuck in that hole. He said he began to scream and holler. The house was several yards away from there, but he said his wife in the house, she just didn't hear him. And then he saw the back door open. He thought, oh, this is great. But she comes out with a load of laundry. Tell this is years ago, but she came out with a load of laundry and began to hang clothes on the line. He said the whole time she's hanging those clothes up, she never once looks at his direction. And the one arm that's free, he's just a waving it, he's just a hollering, he's just a yelling. And he watched her one by one as she hung the clothes on the line. And when she got through, she picked up the laundry basket, and for some reason she paused and kind of looked around the farm, and then she saw him. Ran over there, and his arm was saved. And I got to thinking of that. If a third party had have come upon the scene, it would have been inevitable to him that that man was calling out to his wife with everything that was within him. And you know, that's an evident thing. When somebody is really calling on the Lord, it's evident. It's evident to the third party, and it's evident to God when somebody calls on the name of the Lord. I want you to notice, now this is only the fourth chapter of Genesis, but I want you to notice how unique this is. I don't know if you've ever thought about how unique this is, that then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. If we went back to Genesis 3 there in the garden, it says in verse 8 that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So God, he was talking to man in the garden. God, he initiated it. God took the initiative, and he talked to Adam and Eve. And then as they hid themselves in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And so prior in the history of humanity, we have the scripture that lets us know that God called out to man. And I'm glad he did. And he never stopped doing that when somebody was hid and lost. He's always done that. He's called out to them. But prior to chapter 4, we have where God talked to men. We have where God called out to man. But in chapter 4, this is something new. This isn't God calling out to men or calling after men. This is men calling on God. These are men that's calling out to the Lord. Amen. This is a turning point in human history. Why are they calling out to him? They're wanting to speak to him. And just as man was hidden to God, or thought he was hidden, and God called out to him, now God seems hidden to man, and man is calling out to God. Amen. What has happened in this short span? We have Abel, the true worshiper, who has been murdered by his brother Cain. And now we have just one descendant of Adam and Eve. We have Cain, the false worshiper. Cain, the murderer. Cain, a carnal person. And so all of his seed, all his descendants were carnal and wicked. Adam and Eve, from being kicked out of the garden to having their son Abel killed. No doubt Adam and Eve were discouraged and saddened and full of doubt. But it says here, then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Excuse me a moment. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, up to that point, even there hasn't been that going on. There's been no reaching out to God. There's been no calling out to God. The world has gone wicked. The world has become carnal through the evil of that murderer, Cain. It's even more than that. I read in the text, it said that Seth had a son who was Enos. And Enos, the root of it, means sickly or mortal, liable to die. I mean, things are bad. Things have gone wicked. This world seems set on a road and a path to destruction. But in the middle of that, though nobody else has ever done it, suddenly men begin to get a faith in their heart that if they would call out to Creator God, that he would hear them and he would answer. And so suddenly there was a turn. There was a pivot. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know how you feel, but when I look around at our world, when I look at the state of the church, I'm asking the question, when is the then coming? When can it be said that then they begin to call upon the Lord? Then they begin to seek the Lord. Then they begin to beseech him. Then they got back to the prayer meeting. Then they found the prayer closet. I'm telling you, that was the turning point then. And if there's going to be a turning point, it will be if the then is put in our lives. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. And after that, there was a godly lineage. After that, God spoke with men because men saw their need of God. They saw the need of change. They saw the emptiness of life without God. And as they called upon him, there was a change in the direction of humanity. There was a change in attitude. There was the call of Abraham. There was the formation of the people of Israel. And ultimately, there was the coming of the Savior because men called on the name of the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of ways to define call, but as I revisited it, I came up with this definition. A call is an urgent appeal made from a humble state. an urgent appeal made from a humble state. You know, when you really get in trouble, you don't care who it is that hears you or what you sound like when you're hollering. If you're really in a bad enough shape, you're going to yell help with everything. You won't have reserve. You'll lose your dignity in a hurry if the situation's bad enough. I got to think of that blind Bartimaeus. He began to call out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Don't you realize how ridiculous you sound? Don't you realize the disruption you're making? Oh, that didn't discourage him, because he was in a humbled state and he was making an urgent appeal, and he just kept calling out until Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He meant to call, literally means to call by name the one from whom you're seeking help. Hallelujah. I like it. I said the word call literally means to call by name the one from whom you're seeking help. Brother Rose, that means I need your help. And you could tell I was called. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? They realized their help wasn't going to come from a horizontal level. They realized their help wasn't going to come from another human. They realized they needed help. They were in a humbled state. Therefore, they were unashamed to say, Jehovah, Jehovah, we need you. Then begin men to call. I'm telling you, you can tell when somebody's calling him. I said, you can tell when somebody's calling him. Amen. They called on the name of the Lord. You see, when you're calling, you're trying to make sure you are heard. Hallelujah. You say, God's not deaf. No, but I'm desperate. That's why you call. Hallelujah. God's not deaf, but you're desperate. You're trying to make sure you're heard. You're trying, think of that farmer with his arm in that hole with that auger. You're trying to get the attention. Amen. You're admitting by your call that you need help. You've got to have help. I want to tell you, when somebody calls, it's a sound you'll never forget. I'll tell you, I'll go beyond that. If you've ever heard the people of God, not just saying a ritualistic prayer, but if you've ever heard the people of God really calling on his name, beseeching him to move in their, you'll never forget the sound of the people of God calling upon him. I'll go a step further. If you've ever heard a group of young people locked in a prayer room seeking God for his presence, seeking God for his move, you'll never forget that sound of youthful voices calling out to Creator, Redeemer, God for his touch. I've got a question. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. When is that then going to come in your life, in my life, in our church, in our country? Don't you think it's time that it could be said? Then they begin to, things were horrible, things were bad, things were wicked, things were being destroyed, but then they called upon, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. How many begins to feel it in your heart to call upon the name of the Lord? When is the then going to be? Man in his emptiness called on his name. Really, I'm about done, but here's what I want you to hear tonight. I want you to think of a person that's been trying to do things their own way. Doing things their own way. They've strayed from the truth they've been taught. They are now living for self and for pleasure and for their own way. But in doing so, they have found life increasingly empty and meaningless. The question is, when will be the then? When is it going to be said of that person, absorbed in self, doing things his own way? When is it going to be said? Then he recognized the emptiness of his life. Then he began to call upon the name of the Lord and said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want you to think, amen, of a couple. Everything has gone sour in their marriage. The love is gone. The passion is gone. The laughing is gone. Things have grown increasingly worse in the home. Accusations are being hurled about. There is fighting in the house. There is hurt. For that couple, I want to know, when will be the then? When will it be said, then they saw they needed help? Then they were tired of the yelling and the fussing and the hurting. Then they begin to call out to God, God, heal our marriage. God, help us to get rid of everything that's destroying our marriage. Oh God, who is love, we beseech you, you would put the love and back into our marriage and heal our marriage and heal our home. When will that then be? I think of parents that if they were observant, they would see their children's lack of spiritual interest. They would watch as their children grow increasingly interested and involved in the world. They would notice their children not praying, their children not worshiping. And my question is, when will the then come? When will it be said that then those parents talked together and said, we don't want to see our children go the way of the world? When will those parents then, can be said of them, then they began to set the example, worshiping in church, coming to the altar, weeping there, calling on God there, setting the example for their children, praying for their children? When will it be said that then that couple called upon the name of the Lord until God came and gave their children an experience that they never forgot? Where will that then be? Hallelujah. Youth group, I want to talk to your great youth group, but I want to talk to you. You watch as one after another of your number turns from serving God, goes out into the world, forsakes the way of Christ, gets involved in things that are destroying them, sinful things, things that are ruining their lives. Young people, what about seeing the apathy and the lack of desire and the coldness creeping in? I'm not saying you're all like that. I'm saying you see how it begins to happen and how Satan begins to work and setting one against another. And this one, there they go after the temptations of sin. Then goes another. Hallelujah. When is the then coming? Not then Brother Brian says something, or then Pastor Hurst says something, but when is the then coming? When several of you rise up as leaders and say, we don't like to see what's happening in the youth group. We want a youth group that knows the true revival of God. When is that then coming? When it can be said, then a couple of them rose up as leaders and said to the rest of the youth, with Brother Brian's permission, we're going to have prayer meeting. I know on Friday night there's a ball game, but we're going to ask Brother Brian to unlock the doors of the church. Then the youth group begins to say, we've heard Grandma talk about it. We've heard Mom and Dad talk about it. We've seen a little bit at youth camp, but oh God, we want a move that consumes us like a mighty fire, and we want a move that makes every one of us committed wholly and completely. And then the youth group begin to pray. Then leaders rose up in the youth group, and then they begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and then they experience a revival that hitherto they had only heard about. When is the then coming? Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody doesn't like the coldness of their heart. They know they've been thinking things differently than they used to, justifying things they previously would have shunned. They know they're not reading their Bible and praying and having time alone with God. They know that their worship is hollow and has become a ritual. When is the then coming? Then they become alarmed at their spiritual coldness. Then they humble themselves and said, I've been after the wrong things. Then they begin to cry and weep before God. God, reorder my priorities so that I would love you with all of my heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and not be caught up in the trap of other things. When is that then coming? Amen. Here's one. She's let bitterness and anger stew in her heart against someone who hurt her. Amen. That bitterness has been there until she has lost her peace with God and lost her joy of God. Oh, when is the then coming? The then she breaks and said, I'm tired of the bitterness. I miss the joy. I long for the peace. Then she sobs and she weeps in an altar until she lets God lance the abscess in her heart, and all the bitterness pours out, and then all the love and the peace and the joy of God flood in. When is that then going to? Oh, don't continue in that road of bitterness. Amen. May it be said tonight that then she called upon God, and God gave her joy and peace. I could go on, but the church notes how few converts, lack of passionate worship, the missing spontaneity, the absence of burden for the lost, the increasing creeping in of the world. When will the then come? Then the prayer meetings filled up to capacity. Then people came early to pray. Then people took Wednesday night as seriously as a Sunday night. Then people fasted and prayed through the week and called on God and said, oh God, before you come, send us one more mighty revival that sweeps in the backslidden family member. Oh, send us one more mighty move of revival that breaks the chains of sin and delivers souls from evil. Oh, I know I preached about evil this morning. I'm so tired of that darkness creeping in and claiming victim after victim and destroying lives and marriages. And people sit in a church and don't realize it's already crept into their home, into their lives. When is there going to be that then? The church called upon the name of the Lord, mighty Savior. Send us another revival. Oh, hallelujah. I think it's time for the then. Then begin men and women and young ladies and young men and children to call upon the name. We've got to have your help. We're unashamed to admit that we need you, and we call you by name, Jesus, thou Son of David. Have mercy on me. Oh, hallelujah. Music, would you come? You can tell the difference with a call. Brother Steve, he went to the store the other day. Do you know that? Brother Steve, I'm still not calling. Brother Steve! I'm calling. You can tell the difference with a call. And you can tell when it enters into somebody's attitude, enters into somebody's motive, enters into somebody's heart. They've had enough. We're tired of Cain and his evil and his wicked. We're tired of no true worship. We want an encounter with the Almighty God. And I got good news. I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to read one verse. I got good news. I'll let Jeremiah tell us. Amen. God said through the prophet Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's good grounds to call on him tonight. He said he'd answer. He said he'd answer. I can't remember if I shared it here or not. But the New Hebrides Islands are off the coast of Scotland. And they had a great revival in the 50s. Great move of God. And an interviewer, I read his interview. He went there to interview those folks before they perished. You know, they're getting older. Those that were adults then. And he went there to interview them. He wanted to get history on that. And oh, every one of them, he said, I sat down. They remembered distinctly what God did in that revival in New Hebrides. And one of them told the story how one night they gathered there in the church and they sang and they prayed and they sought God, and the Spirit of the Lord was rich. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving. And at 2 a.m, they were still shouting praises to God and worshiping Him, and folks were coming out of the village and getting saved. I mean, it was a mighty move of God, but the neighbors were upset. It was too loud for them. And one of the neighbors, a lady, She had been trying to sleep through all that, and finally she had enough, and she got dressed, and she marched out there, found whomever looked like a leader, and she said, "I've been trying to sleep all night. I've been awakened by all this mess and this going on, and I want you all to be quiet." And she just ranted and raved, and finally that man looked at her, and he said, "Lady, you've slept long enough." Oh, I feel like that, saying that to some folks and some churches. We've slept long enough. It's high time to awake out of our sleep and slumber, for the day of the Lord is approaching. I think it's time for a then. I'm not going to call any names, but then they called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have that avenue? Troubles and hard times, difficulties. Hallelujah. I've been there. You know, you can let coldness get in your soul, and you can just continue on and on with that thing, or you can shake yourself and say, "It's time for a then. I've been this way long enough. It's time for a then. I called upon the name of the Lord. I was headed the wrong direction. Wrong thing had its talons in me. I was being pulled the wrong way. But then I came to a meeting with God and called upon Him, and He's touched me, and I've never been the same." Oh, hallelujah. I believe in that kind of touch. Well, you don't want the world. You don't want the things of the world. Amen. There's still difficulties. There's still hard things to face. But you've called upon His name, and according to His word, He answered you and showed you great and mighty things. How many would rather have the things of God than the things of the world? Oh, hallelujah. Call upon His name. He'll show us. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to give an odd altar call. I don't even know if I touched your knee tonight. Maybe I didn't. But you knew what I was talking about. But here's the altar call tonight. I wonder if in honesty, folks, I did mention some things. Amen. Your knee may not have fit into that. But here's the altar call. You'd be honest with yourself and say, "In my life, it's time for a then." Then, and you begin to come, say, "In my life, it's time for a then. Then I called upon the Lord and He answered me." Anyone would like to begin to come? Now is a time for a then. It's got to be a then in my life. It's time for a then in my life. And when you come, don't just pray. You say, "Pastor, I pray." I know you pray, but that's different than calling on His name. Come and call. Call. Come on, call out to Him. You say, "We don't have to get loud." No, but we're desperate. Then they called upon the Lord. Then they called upon the Lord. Come on, don't just come and pray that prayer for Sunday night and say, "I've been to the altar." No. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Come on, lift your heart. Lift your voice. Call upon the Lord. God, we're desperate.
I want to help the hurting with all of my heart.
What about it, young people? Revival like you've never seen. Then the youth group called upon the Lord.
Till there's healing all around.
Then they called upon God for themselves. Oh, would you seek Him? Would you seek Him?
In my secret place.
Come on.
I
want to encourage you, church. Don't just pray tonight. Call. Call on Him. Call on God. He said, "I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not." Oh, hallelujah.
Tried my best to reach them, and their heart just seems so hard. Lord,
hallelujah.
What can I do to help bring them back to you? Family lost and dying, and the words have not gotten through, but I can pray.